You can please have your seat. You can please have your seat. Thank you. It's always good to be in the house of the Lord. Okay, I'll say that again. It's always good to be in the house of the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. I'll go straight into the word of God. Can you hear me? Perfect. Okay, I'll go straight into the word of God. But before I do that, I'd just like to say a quick word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for another opportunity to fellowship in your presence. Lord, we ask that in the mighty name of Jesus, you are the author of marriage. We pray that in the name of Jesus, you open up our eyes to see and our hearts to receive this morning in the mighty name of Jesus. Perfect all that concerns us in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen. So, I know I told you that I'll probably need you at the end. That's what I need. Yes. Because if we go that route, we'll just continue and we'll just move in the spirit. I think when Pastor Emmanuel was on stage, one of the things that I saw was angels were just descending. And what would be happening today is God be healing broken hearts in the name of Jesus. And then God will be course correcting mindsets in the name of Jesus. Amen. Today, I don't take it lightly. I appreciate Pastor E, Pastor Tokwe, and the leadership of Victory House. It's an honor to bring the word of God to us today. And I will be talking about marriage, relationships, as it were. 2 weeks ago, Pastor Emmanuel and Pastor Tokwe started the love game. And, you know, there were teachings from both the married, to the married and to the single. Today, I'll be continuing in that light, and I'll be talking more about how to fight for your marriage. You can fight for your marriage even before it starts. As a single person, you got to put things in place that help you start to build a successful marriage even while you are single. Today, like I said, the message is fight for your marriage. It's literally fight for your marriage. I'm taking my text from Matthew chapter 19 from verse 3. And if we see here a conversation between the Pharisees and Jesus. And the Bible says in verse 3, the Pharisees also came to him, testing him and saying to him, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for any reason, for just any reason? Verse 4 says, and he answered to them, he says, have you not read? It says, he who made them at the beginning made them male and female. But he says, have you not read? So there's a part of you and I reading the word of God, reading scripture. Then verse 5 says, and he said, for this reason shall a man leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. It says, so then they are no longer two, but one. Therefore, what God has joined together, let not man separate. They said to him, why then did Moses command to give a certificate of divorce to put her away? And verse 8 says, He said to them, Moses, because of the hardness of your heart, permitted you to divorce your wives, but from the beginning it was not so. And I'll just throw this in there. If you see any divorce taking place, there are three things that are prevalent. There's pride that is there. There's hardness of heart that is there. And there's lost hope. You have lost hope in that relationship. And that's what Moses was saying here, because of the hardness of your heart. Over time, due to, I want to say wear and tear in relationships, your heart becomes hardened. And then you make decisions based on that. But let me start by doing this. I want to say marriage vow, and you don't have to respond, but if, I don't know if you've attended any wedding and you hear something like this, I take Jane to be my lawful wedded wife, to love and to hold, to have her in sickness and in health till death do us part. That's typically the norm. Sometimes some people put a little bit too much to their vows. But that's typically the norm. They exchange vows. But I'm yet to hear a vow that says, I, John, I want to take you, Mary, as my lawful wedded wife. I promise to frustrate you. I promise to make you upset. I promise never to listen to you. I promise always to be selfish till death do us part. How many people will know that Mary most likely will walk away from that wedding? But unfortunately, we get married and we begin to experience this. Is it? Okay, let me use this. Praise God. Okay, better. Unfortunately, we get married and something like that happens, whereby due to wear and tear, for whatever reason, our heart is hardened. It could be, this is my way, or, you know, or what have you. And we get to this place whereby we are operating from a hardened heart. How many of you, I've always been fascinated at the fact that when I look at a ship, if, you know, a cargo ship is massive, it weighs, you know, thousands of metric tons, but for some reason, that ship doesn't sink. If I throw a pen or my phone or your car into a sea, it will sink. But a ship that is 100 times, if not more, you know, the weight of my car or the weight of your car would not sink. Why? Two primary reasons. The hollow shape of the vessel and the fact that the ship has the ability not to allow water come into that vessel and stay in. By design, a ship is not meant to sink. Why am I saying that? It's the same thing with our relationship. If you don't let junk come in and stay in, your marriage, your relationship has what it takes to sail through any storm. Why? Because marriage was never designed to end in divorce. It wasn't designed. So whatever storm comes your way, as long as whatever is out there doesn't come in and stay in, I guarantee you, based on the word of God, your marriage has what it takes to sail through any storm. Any storm in marriage, regardless of what that storm is, your marriage has the ability to sail through that storm, because marriage was not designed to end in divorce. And I say that for two reasons. There are two forces. The scripture that we read, Jesus says, what God has joined him together, let not man separate. There are two forces that are going to try to separate that. There are two forces that are going to come against you, whether you are single or whether you're married. These forces are going to come against you. There's the external force. And what I mean by the external force is culture. Culture is going to present its ways. This is how it's done. Tradition is going to do the same thing. This is how we do it in our family. Then your family, you know, your relationships, in some cases, your ex-relationships, then you start to compare. God bless you, whereby you're newlywed, you now go on social media, and it seems like your ex is doing better than you, and then you're driving home, and then you're saying, why didn't I just marry Jane? Well, brother, you are married. Get over it. For whatever reason, you didn't marry Jane. You married Janet. So just focus on Janet. You have what it takes, you and Janet, if you face Janet. But There are those external forces that will challenge your decision. It's the same thing as a child of God. Culture, tradition will challenge those things. Sometimes children, you get married and then your attention is divided. You're trying to focus your attention on raising the kids. The kids would go home, will grow up rather, and leave you. And that's why sometimes when kids leave, couples find it hard because they spent the last how many years focusing on building their kids rather than building their own relationship. I mean, my kids are still very young. That one was based on the things I've read. So I haven't experienced it. The Lord help us in Jesus' name. And then there's their in-laws. These are still external forces. They are the in-laws. They are the in-laws. You know, they are the in-laws. Bless in-laws. There's always wisdom to navigate that phase. There are external forces. Well, this is how it's done. I go and visit my son, and I find out that he's the one washing the dishes. It is his house, ma. Praise the Lord. It is his house, ma. Right? So in-laws as well. And then sometimes there, you know, there are challenges whereby it's fertility issues. Fertility issues can both be internal and external. External is when the in-laws are saying, well, you've been married 5 years and you don't have any kids. Do you think he doesn't know? Do you think he's like, oh, wow, I've been married 5 years and I don't have kids? He knows. Tell us a solution, ma. Tell us a solution. He knows. So rather than putting more pressure on him and what, sometimes it's financial. You've been married. He are still struggling with this. He trust me, he knows. But rather than highlighting those things from an external perspective, pray for him. Tell him things that he can do to overcome that situation. So those are external forces that would come at your marriage. Those same forces as a single person can begin to filter the way you think about marriage. Whereby you see people, whereby in your family they go through certain things. And as a result of that, you make up your mind, I am not going to do this or I am not going to do that. The Lord will help us in Jesus' name. So now let's talk about the internal forces. There are the internal forces that are going to come against your marriage. Jesus said, have you not read? It's important for you to get to a point whereby it is scripture that is filtering your decisions. It is the word of God that is filtering your decisions. And I'll just say this. Well, okay, I won't get ahead of myself, but when we talk about internal forces, this is a battles within, internal conflict, couples, lack of forgiveness. Your wife did this, your husband did that. Forgive. Over time, if you don't forgive, something is going to happen. It is going to put something that is called resistance. It's going to create that wall. And then you will find out that you're angry at the things she did 20 years ago. And when you think long and hard, you don't even know why anymore. But that resistance has been built. That partition has been built. Now, sometimes it's pride. Guys, let me tell you something. Please, just swallow your pride. Swallow your pride. And sometimes, particularly when you start to have traction out there, you go out there as a man of God, or you go out there as a business owner, or you're the director in your firm, or you're doing things, and you have all these people say sa, 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 sa to you. Please, when you get into your house, just as you open that door, just leave all those things outside. Now you are a husband and a father. Operate in that office. So those are internal things. Then there's dishonor, there's character flaws, then there's unmet expectations. I'm not happy in my marriage, therefore I must have married the wrong person. All of this are internal forces that you're going to go through. You don't have to go through it, but some people deal with it. Sometimes it could be job loss. It could be financial pressure. And then infertility. So while infertility could be external, it can also be internal. You're dealing with those forces. These forces are going to come at your marriage. Now, it is left for you. What will I do? How do I then fight for my marriage? When I read this scripture in Revelations chapter 12, the Bible says, Revelations chapter 12, verse 7, it says, and war broke out in heaven. War broke out in heaven. Michael and his angel fought with the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought, but they did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old, called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast out to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. This is heaven. There was war in heaven. God fought to keep his throne. You would fight for your marriage. It's not if you have to fight for your marriage. There is nothing significant that is not worth fighting for. Things don't just happen. That business, you will fight for it. That career that you want, you will fight for it. I was talking to somebody and he said he graduated with a first class. And in my mind, I said, you just said that so casual. Do you know how much, this is Nigeria, first class. Do you know how much sacrifice goes into that thing to graduate with a first class? How many of us know that if you read, you will pass? All of us. How many people read? I don't know. How many people have 4.0 GPAs here? I don't know. But we know we need to, if we do those things, we will get the results. It's the same thing for your marriage. It's not should I. You have to fight for your marriage. God fought to maintain heaven. There was war. Praise the Lord. How do I then fight for my marriage is the next question. I know I have to fight for my marriage. How do I fight? We're going to talk about those things. The first thing to do when you're fighting for your marriage is you need to identify the enemy. I don't know how many of you are versed with the Vietnam War, but in the Vietnam War, one of the things that gave the Vietnamese advantage over the U.S. is something called guerrilla warfare. U.S. had the military might, but they could not see the Vietnamese because they were hidden in the mountain, in the jungle. So regardless of your military might, at least I need to see my target so that I can shoot my target. The first thing is you need to identify your enemy. And I want to say a secret. Married couples, your spouse is not your enemy. It may feel like that sometimes. You may think they are your enemy. But your wife is not your enemy. Neither is your husband. Zig Ziglar said, many marriages would be a lot better if couples simply understood that they're on the same side. If we are on, so first of all, I have this anger in me. I want to fight. Please don't face it at your spouse. Your spouse is not the enemy. It may feel like it, but they are not the enemy. And here's why. The devil, if he shows up with a pitchfork, you know, like you see in movies, you know, horns and all that, and he says, I'm the devil, I've stepped into this marriage, I guarantee you, most couples will come together and fight that person. If you see somebody breaking into your home, even though you've not been talking for 6 weeks, if somebody breaks into your home at midnight, you will tag team. One is calling 911. The husband is getting his shotgun. Some other husband will get their Bible and say, in the name of Jesus. Regardless of what you do, just we will fight that together first. Then we can now go back at facing each other. And that's what the devil does. He doesn't come with a pitchfork, but he will show up as pride. He will show up as unforgiveness. He will show up as being selfish. He will show up as, family traditions. He will show up disguised in these things, character flaws. That way, you are not facing him, but you are facing your spouse. And then now you start to pick on them. I said hello. You didn't even say hello back. I've been calling you now. Yeah, well, I'm on it. You know, different things. You start to argue. He shows up as mistrust or broken, unmet expectations. So that's the first thing. How do I fight for my marriage? I need to identify the enemy. When you notice that you're feeling a certain way, I am angry. Why am I angry? Trace it back. And then if you notice that you are one that is given to anger, look for scriptures that address those things. So you can't let the devil come in through something called anger. If we have been angry day in, day night, I think we're talking about the better with the better lights yesterday, and we're talking about unfailing love, right? Jesus says, come as you are, but he expects you to grow. You have been married 15 years and you still keep saying, my anger issue. There's something wrong, sir. 15 years, my, it's not your anger. Let's sit down and deal with this thing. It's 20 years in marriage, and you're still saying it's my, or you are 35 years old, and people, I just get angry. It's, ma, calm down. Jesus says, come as you are. You've killed the prostitute, anything, just come as you are. But in this kingdom, I expect you to grow. If you are fruitful, I will prune you so you can bear much fruits. So if I come, this is just my personality. That's not an excuse. I think that's just being lazy. So the first thing is, let's identify the enemy. The second thing is, understand where the battle is. The battle is in your mind. People that are more introverts, or people that are given to, people that are, I think, deep thinkers, I would encourage you, if you're listening to me, read the word of God more, because when you're in your realm, the devil is a master in that realm. If you don't let the word of God filter that realm, you will find out that it starts from, he came late. From, he came late, you're both yelling at each other and you want to leave the house. I was talking to somebody the other day, and rice, white rice. White rice caused the issue. White rice. White rice. White rice caused the issue. Why? The rice, well, he's always getting carried away. He was just supposed to boil rice, and he burnt the rice. And that was the issue. And before we know it, the tensions are raising. White rice. Lord help us, in Jesus' name. What am I saying? Understand that the battlefield is in your mind. Many marriages are won and fought at the realm of the mind. It is your mind. You think you married the wrong person. My brother, treat her like you would treat the right person. She would become the right person. Simple. It's like you thought so. Okay. Just do those things. If you don't do it and you let the devil play games in that realm, if you don't let the word of God filter, he would. That's where you now start getting into things like depression, anxiety. For what? Because you are not allowing the word of God to filter. I mean, people that are excited, it's almost like they don't think. But it's not true. It's a defense mechanism. When things are thrown at you, okay, what do you want me to? I have to shout and scream. Why? It's my defense mechanism. Why? Because the joy of the Lord is my strength. Praise God. Then number three is, you need to fight together. Couples, please fight as one. A chain is only as strong as its weakest link. Here's what happens many times. The husband is strong in one area, and then the wife is strong in another area. But the husband wants the wife to be strong in his area, which might be an area of weakness for the wife. Focus on your strengths. If the wife is good at managing money, my brother, humble yourself. Let her manage the money. Because you notice that anytime you are managing this money, the account is always in red. Why don't you just receive the help God has brought your way and just let her manage it? Simple. I remember when we first got married, I would go and do grocery shopping. I would spend more and I'll buy less. I said, wisdom just, damn it, praise God. Do the grocery shopping. She will buy more and she will spend less. Praise the Lord. We need to fight together. There's this scene in Captain America, Civil War. And he says this quote. He says, an empire toppled by its enemy can rise again, but one which crumbles from within is dead. If you fight each other, that marriage is dead. If you come together, I'm telling you, except the word of God is not true, there is nothing couples that agree that they can't face. There's nothing. As one, if the devil can't come at you outside, he will come internally. If he can break that link, that both of you are not standing as one to fight, he has won. I'm telling you, because you are not at your best. If the husband is doing his own thing and the wife is doing his own thing, the devil will just be having a field day in that home. You need to fight together. Then number four is, install what I call a defense mechanism. Set boundaries. Your in-laws should not be able to put down your spouse and you'll be there and you'll be smiling. It should not be. Your friends should not be able to talk down at your spouse and you are laughing. There's something wrong with that image. Set boundaries. Put things in place. That in our family, this is what we do. In our family, this is how we do it. In our family, if I notice that I'm upset, okay, I'll calm down, I'll go for a drive, and then I'll come back, and then we can deal with it. Send defense mechanisms to help you in a time whereby emotions are rising up. My grandmother now, she's passed, but she would always say, look, if I kill somebody, that person deserves to die. I could do no wrong in the eyes of my grandmother. She was my defense mechanism. Anytime there was any trouble, I'll just call my grandmother. Because I knew she was on my side. Even if I was wrong, even my parents sometimes, I'll just call my grandmother. And my grandmother and my parents, they'll figure it out. But me, I'm good. Why am I saying this? Identify defense mechanisms. You can't do it by yourself. Some mechanism is just having a support system. Having people that you can relate to, that you trust, that have like minds. We'll talk about that later on. So I've said, how do I fight for my marriage? First, identify the target, the enemy. Understand where the fight is taking place. It is in your mind. Number three, we need to fight together, collectively. Your strength, my strength, we'll use it to fight. Number four, we need to install a defense mechanism. And then number five, please, be sensitive to your spouse. In my example of the ship that I said, one thing that is very important to the success of that vessel is the captain's ability to be sensitive to the weather conditions of their path. If the captain is not sensitive or cannot find out what's going on in that path, he's going to put the life of his crew members at risk because he's not able to sense what's coming. As married couples, I'll talk about singles and engaged singles in a little bit. As married couples, storms don't just happen. Your husband is not just going to explode. Your wife is not just going to get angry. There are things, pressure points that have been building up. It is your responsibility to be sensitive to those things and disarm them. It is your responsibility. Because I guarantee you, the rice that was causing the issue was not the rice. It is history of things that have built up. So now it is rice that is causing the issue. Sensitivity is essential to the success of any marriage. Be sensitive to each other's needs and desires. So from a sensitivity standpoint, what are some of the things? There's a spiritual sensitivity. You need to be discerning. You notice your wife is back from work and she's in a certain mood. That's not the time to say, honey, you must talk. What's going on? Calm down. How do you help her in that situation? Emotional sensitivity, physical sensitivity, and then there's also mental sensitivity. These are just some areas you need to pay attention. Like I said, it is no storms just appear. Even here in Chicago, a few days ago, there was winter advisory, storm was coming. They told us days or hours in advance that this is coming. Prepare. What are some ways that you can use to be sensitive to your spouse? I think Pastor Tokman and Pastor, he talked about his communication. You know, you need to spend quality and quantity time with your spouse. And I'll just say this. If you notice your wife or your husband is trying to spend time with you, just indulge them. Because nobody wants to keep hanging around somebody that is moody. You get what I'm saying? So the husband is trying to talk to you, and you're angry, and he's trying to talk to you. My brother, the husband will just go and pray or find something else to do. Praise God. Be sensitive to your spouse. So I talked about how to fight for your marriage. Now I want to talk about some strategies to fight for your marriage. Some tools, some practical tools that you and I can engage in. When I read this scripture, John 17, verse 12, it says, while I was with them, this is Jesus, while I was with them, I kept them in your name. Those whom you gave me, I have kept, and none of them is lost except the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. Jesus is saying, God, everybody that you gave me, I kept. Everything God gives you is important. He expects you to keep it. He can tell you to give it away. Your marriage, God expects you to fight and keep that marriage. Your children, God expects you to fight and keep them. That job, that career, God expects you to fight and keep it. Now, what are some of the tools that you and I can engage? We see it from Jesus. The first one is prayer. Prayer, prayer, prayer. Pray. You can't pray enough. If your marriage is good, keep praying. If your marriage is struggling, keep praying. If you are never yet married, please pray. You can't pray enough. When you look at Isaac, I like Isaac, I like Abraham. They're one of my favorite Bible characters. But when you look at Isaac, Abraham sends his servant, go and what? Go and pick a spouse for my son, Isaac. And then Rebecca comes. And I mean, I'm paraphrasing. And then we look at that union. We see God's hand in Isaac getting married to Rebecca. You would have thought that Isaac wouldn't go through 20 years of trying to have kids. His father went through those same things. Abraham went through that. What am I saying? It's important for you to pray. And the Bible says that Isaac sought the face of the Lord so that his wife could give birth for 20 years. Ephesians 6 tells us, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. It says, being watchful to the end. You can't pray enough. And I'll say this, many married couples, I don't think they pray for their spouse. They pray for things. But I don't know if you dedicate time. List the things your wife or your husband wants, desire is going through, and pray for them. I notice my husband gets carried away. Lord, help him. I notice my husband is struggling with leadership. Lord, help him. There's no point fighting him. He knows he's struggling. Sometimes we men, we know. You don't have to tell us. But ego, pride may not help us. He knows he's struggling. Rather than reinforce it, ask the one that can change the situation. Pray for him. You are believing God for that job. You are believing God for X, Y, Z, all those things. Include your husband, include your wife. Number two is obedience to the word of God. I believe with my whole heart that if, as Christians, and either married or single, if we obey the word of God that we know, not the ones we don't know, the one we already know, if we obey it, we see the rebirth of many things. Just obedience to the word of God. Now, how can you, number three is, how can you obey the word of God that you don't know? Which would be my third point. A working knowledge of scripture. You need to spend time reading. Jesus there says in Matthew 19, in verse 3 that we read, have you not read? If you are struggling in an area, ignorance in this 21st century is not an excuse. There is nothing you are looking for that is not online, at the very least. There are things that you are looking for that you are struggling with that is already in scripture. And I'll say this, see, prophecy is not the primary way to lead. It's the word of God. Prophecy can confirm, prophecy can help guide. But don't live your life based on, well, I just feel it. The Holy Spirit, calm down. Because you might be wrong. Do the things that you know first. God says this, I'll do it. The word of God says that, I will do it. Obey first the word of God. So I need a working knowledge of scripture. If I understand what scripture has said, then it's easy for me to obey. Number four is integrity and godly character. The Bible says in Psalm 78, he shepherded them according to the integrity of his heart and guided them through the skillfulness of his hands. Let me tell you something. As couples, you may be wrong. Let's even give you that benefit of the doubt. But if you are sincere and you're genuine, God knows how to work it. You can be genuinely wrong. But if your heart is sincere, God knows how to help you. Because it is your character, integrity. You made decisions based on what you thought was best at that point in time. It is only God that sees everything. Scripture says we know in parts and we prophesy in parts. My point is this. If there's integrity, I'll give you an example. As a husband, you know you want to buy something that is 5,000 and you don't know how to tell your wife. You now go and meet her. Look, babe, why don't you buy that bag? It's only, 1,800. And she's like, I don't want you. And then you say, buy the bag. Because you know 2 months you are coming with a $5,000 bill. And you, boom. That's manipulation. Why don't you just tell her where you were going before? And you guys can have that conversation. Amen? Number five, strategy. This one. Growing up, I'm sure you've heard this. Don't let anybody come between you as husband and wife. Don't let anybody know your business. There's some truth to that. But that thing has hindered a lot of young couples. In Titus, in Peter, we see it. Scripture says that the older women should encourage the younger women. They should teach the younger women. So I'll say this, counseling and mentorship. Counseling and mentorship. Research shows that people that have mentors in a particular area are 90%, they have a 90% success rate in that area. Mentorship and counseling. Young couples, particularly young couples, it is imperative. You've not been married before. At least you've not been married to this person before. Look for help. The Lord will help us in Jesus' name. And then number five is focus on common grounds. Focus on common grounds. Focus on things that at least you can relate with your spouse. You agree together. Things that you can do together. Focus on common grounds. And this is important because if you always focus on what is dividing you, after a while, you won't see anything that connects you together anymore. You would only focus on things that divide you. My wife doesn't like, my wife doesn't like, my wife doesn't like, my husband doesn't like. And those are the things that you're focusing on. Why don't you focus on the things she likes? I know it might be boring to either person, but it's okay. Start there. She likes football, watch the football with her. She likes baseball, bless God, watch the baseball game with her. She likes opera, Jesus is Lord. You can go and sit at some of those. He likes soccer, please watch it with him. Amen? Know about his business. Know about her business. I'll start to round up. I want us to pray, but I'll round up with a few things. Why do you fight for your marriage? Why do I need to fight for my marriage? Why? The first thing is because God hates divorce. God hates divorce. The second thing is because the devil wins if you don't. I read a book years ago, The Unexpected Legacy of Divorce. And this book, this research person, takes 131 kids and he studies their life over a 30-year period. 131 kids that were from broken homes, divorced homes. And it's amazing the impact of what divorce did to those kids. He studied kids that had a stable home within their community and kids that grew up with divorce or grew up in single parent home. And it was amazing. So sometimes, if you think through the effect, particularly when you have kids, of not even just divorce, I'm not even just talking of divorce, I'm talking of a stale marriage in this case, whereby the kids know this marriage is just eggshells in this home. There's nothing happening here. It impacts your kids. So there's an unexpected legacy that you may be leaving behind that you do not know. Then nobody else will. If you don't fight, only two people, at least physical people, can fight for your marriage, husband and wife. And I'll say this, sometimes both parties might not be willing to fight at the same time. It may be just one party that is willing to fight at that particular point in time. But make up your mind that you personally, I would always fight for my marriage. And it is in the daily decisions that you make. It is in the daily decisions that you and I make. Number four is, I said this because the next generation is looking up to you. The next generation is looking up to you. When you look at John 10:10, the Bible says the thief comes to kill. Thief comes to steal, kill, and then destroy. That progression is the devil will first come and he would steal the joy in your marriage. If you're a single person, the devil will come and steal the joy that you have. He first starts by stealing the joy. And the way to do that is, did God really say? He just needs to introduce certain things, certain words that will get you on a path now you're thinking. Then the next thing is, after he has stolen the joy, he kills the dream that you both had. Remember when you were walking down the aisle, like I said earlier, I don't know of any couple that is walking down the aisle and they are looking at each other, oh my God, I'm going to make your life a living hell. I'm going to make you frustrated. We don't say that. But he kills the dream that you both had. Divorce is like an uncompleted building. So much potential at the beginning, but not enough to build and finish through. Not enough, so much promises at the altar, but there's no character, there are no things to follow through to establishing a home. And then the last thing he'll do is he destroys the purpose of that union. Your union is supposed to birth something. So if he has stolen the joy and then he's killed the dreams, before long, there is no purpose in this marriage. And that's why people start to look for exit strategy. Because I don't see a way out in this marriage. I don't see hope in this union anymore. Marriage is a journey, not a destination. The Bible is a blueprint. I'll always say that. Your life is a journey. Your marriage is a journey. And the Holy Spirit is that guide. Other than your relationship with God, your relationship with your spouse should be one of your greatest assets. Other than your relationship with God. Now, as a single person, you've said all these things about married couples. What is my role? There are two things that you need to cultivate as a single person. Is relationship with the author of marriage. If you can, if you can build that relationship, I mean, you continue to grow in him, but your primary focus is, I want to build that relationship. And then it affects how you interact with other people. Some people say, well, I've been single for too long. Maybe there's certain character flaws that you're working on that you need to leave. Well, but this is not a talk on how to get married. I've said all these things to come to this conclusion. I don't know if you can show that vision slide, media. I've said all this to come to this conclusion. I think I've used this slide before, but I'm going to put a different twist to it. When you look at that slide, as a human being, you can see 180 degrees. And of that, or you have 180 degrees peripheral vision. Of that 180 degrees, you can only see 130 at any given point in time. But guess what? There's 360 in a circle. So which means as a human being, at your best, is 36%. At your best. I don't know how many human beings are functioning at their best consistently. At your best is 36%. In any school you go, 36% is a failure. Any school, 36% is a failure. And that's your best. What happens to the remaining? That's where help comes from. That's why you need God more than you need your spouse to build your marriage. And if you start building that relationship with God as a single person, it is easier to continue. So your best is 36%. And that's where you want to camp. I'm the head of this house. You're making decisions from 36%. You are skewed. But when you embrace your spouse, that vision is expanded to at least in the 70s, 72%. But you still need the help of the Holy Spirit. And that's what I want us to do this evening. So Moses, if you can please just help me with the keyboard. You're going to ask God for help. I don't know where you are in your relationship with your spouse. I don't know where you are in your relationship with God. I hate religion. Religion doesn't help anybody. Religion is bondage. And if you're a single person, religion, or whether single or married, religion would incapacitate you. As we are talking about fighting for your marriage, you need to also ask God to help you. You know where you are, and if you would be real with yourself, there's a litmus test, is you. You know what your flaws are. You know the areas you struggle, whether it's trust, insecurity, unforgiveness, setting expectations that only the Holy Spirit can meet. Only the Holy Spirit. I don't want to burst your bubble, but your spouse cannot meet your need every time. They don't. It's not like they don't want to. They don't have the capacity to. They don't. Even if they wanted to, 100% of the time, it takes a God to do that. So just ask God this evening or this afternoon, Lord, I need help. Help me in my relationship first with you, and then help me in my relationship with my spouse. And then for those that are single, ask God to help you know him more. Ask God to help you in this singleness phase. Ask God. Paul said that I may know him. There's something about you experiencing God for yourself. Like I said, at best, it is 36% without the help of God. At best, it is 36%. Lord, we pray for every marriage represented here tonight, this afternoon. We ask in the name of Jesus, you are the author of marriage. You are the builder of all things. The Bible says, if the foundation is destroyed, what can the righteous do? The righteous can seek God and ask God to fortify it. If there are any foundational issues in our home, we ask in the name of Jesus, that you would help us fortify those things in the name of Jesus. I ask that you infiltrate our hearts, and I bring every marriage represented here today listening to me. I ask for fresh wine. I ask for fresh wine in the mighty name of Jesus. I pray for singles that in this season of their lives, you open up their eyes to see, their hearts to receive in the name of Jesus. Lord, the things that you have committed into our hands, help us fight for them. Help us, empower us. Laganda diakata. You have trained our hands for battle. Ah, lagadagadaga. Help us, yegadagada. Train lagadagada. Ah, you have trained our fingers, yagadagada. Jekende yegede. Empower us in this season to be able to operate at your own frequency. The things you saw concerning marriage, laganda lagatala, help us maximize it in our generation. I pray for every home listening to me. Give them a new song. Lagandala, oh lagada, hurt from spouses. Jekende yekada, pokadala, Rekaske tedye gada. Jekete degede lebra gada gada. Ekandar yagada gada. Emotional abuse. Ekandar yagada. Jekete dya. Alekanda gada. Rebagadala. You are the one that heals. Ekandar yagada. Jekende degede. Let there be healing in our hearts. Mend every broken heart. Let your love, let your love. Rabaganda lagadala. Infiltrate our hearts. Rabaganda legede. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Lord, we give you praise. We pray for every home that you give us a new song. In the mighty name of Jesus.